Thank you. This is the 10th lecture, 3rd Joburg ACC, Wednesday, 8th February, AD 11. And the subject of this lecture is case behavior under processing. And that could be about the broadest subject that anybody ever announced. What doesn't a case do under processing? Do you know they even act sane? It scares a psychiatrist to death to watch processing. It does. It just scares him to death. It makes a medical doctor pale. I've actually seen a medical doctor go into screaming hysteria. Actually screaming hysteria. You've got to get this person to bed. I'll see if we can't get an ambulance. Person, you know, temperature starts running through a tonsillectomy or something stupid and starts gasping, you know. Well, you see it more under what we now call precession 38 than you do under Scientological processing, but you see plenty under Scientological processing if you're watching. And if you're getting anywhere, sooner or later, the PC is going to leave where he has been sitting and move on through some completely 3D engram that he hasn't been looking at. And when he does this, of course, he will start dramatizing some part of that engram. It isn't necessarily true that you have to get an explosion on the part of a PC in order to get a result. But in the process of getting results, you very often get an explosion. One of the most beneficial, quick actions you can take with a case was recognized many years ago. I say many years, yes, half a century ago, by Freud. He called it the release of affect. And this meant the shedding of tears. Release of affect. Actually, it didn't mean precisely the shedding of tears when it was first announced, but it's more or less understood to be that. Now, we don't particularly use this term, but it has already been noted that something happened when the patient cried. It was recognized as he felt better. It's about as far as it went. Now, it's much more positive than that. One of the most noteworthy cases of this type was a girl whose husband, her husband had been for a very short time interested in Dianetics. It was back in 1950. Been interested briefly, and something very serious was wrong with the fellow. He didn't get any auditing or anything, and he died. This upset her very much. And an auditor came along and processed her and ran a 9-hour grief charge on his death and association with him. Now, when she was first seen, she looked like she was about... She looked like she was about 60. She was all in weeds. She looked very, very seamed, gray, poor, horrible. And after spilling 9 hours' worth of tears off of her, she looked like she was about 25. It was quite remarkable. Apparently, her emotions had been bound up with this man for a very, very long time. And she'd been sort of keeping pace with him, you know. And he was much older than she was. When they got the affect off, you might say, why, here you had a considerable change of age in the PC. I've seen this fairly often. We take the death that is ready to blow, that is the death secondary, that is ready to blow off the case, and we get a considerable shift of physical aspect and so forth. Freud, of course, couldn't do this at will. It was a hit-or-miss proposition. It only happened accidentally. Once in a blue moon, he didn't even know why they were crying. Well, he had his own ideas. He said, well, some traumatic experience has overwhelmed him or something. Well, we can turn these things on when they're ready to turn on. At will, you can look for the death of some ally, some very closely favored associate, mother, sister, aunt, brother, something of this sort, husband, wife, and just run precession 38 on the thing. The thing apparently is leaking. You can very often look at a PC and tell them they're about to leak. You can. You ask them a few questions just in general, and they start saying, or they just kind of look haunted around the eyes. And you can spot it on the meter, what grief charge is ready to blow on the case, and knock the grief charge out, and you're going to get a considerable change of case. Right there, bang, right there. Now, although we pay attention to grief, grief actually comes from the history of man, a point on the track which is called the Grim Weeper, a little beachside critter that's spilled tears. You're not too well acquainted down here with the history of man. You ought to read it. Grief is just one of many emotions. And they all spill this way, except you don't recognize them as release of affect, and Freud never recognized them as the release of affect. You will sometimes get an anger charge off of a case. And you handle it just like you would any other misemotional secondary. Now, a secondary is misemotional, not grief. Any misemotion, not just grief. That's a secondary. Sometimes you get a case coming up the line, and all of a sudden they start to feel terribly, terribly, terribly apathetic. You should recognize what it is. It's a secondary in restimulation. A secondary of what? A secondary of apathy. And you can run it. You can run apathy, just as you can run grief. You could run it a la precession 38, you see, Dianetic Assist. You could just say, well, he's feeling apathetic, and he keeps talking about feeling apathetic. Well, let's find the apathy secondary. You can locate it on your meter. You don't even really need any directions of how to locate it on a meter if you can run a meter. You say, when did you feel apathetic last? Well, who felt apathetic? You know, this kind of thing. And when was that? You know, sort of get him to get the idea of apathy, and then I, who, when rule. It'll still work out. Or you can just say, now, what was the steepest moment of apathy in this life? And the thing goes clang, and you can run it down, you can run it. You can handle misemotions directly. And you will considerably shift cases around when you do so. It's something to know. It's part of your bag of tricks. This is the fastest single gain you can get on a case, is the release of a misemotional incident known as a secondary. That is the fastest gain you can get on a case. If you can get it off, you've got it. If you can get it off. Now, many cases are incapable of running incidents. The case control factor is so poor that the bank is out of control, and therefore you cannot hold the PC in the incident, or you have difficulty in doing so. The incident is unreal to the PC and so forth, and this is of no benefit. If you find a condition of that character, just skip it. You know, say, well, it was a good try. Don't worry about running him into it. But find out fast whether or not it's going to run. Don't run him into it for an hour and quit, because you've really done it now. You run him into it, and you try to find it. You locate it. That's fine. And then you give it maybe a few minutes' worth, and he isn't about to contact that incident. He isn't about to run that secondary. You better get interested in doing something else. Right away. Get in there and get off of that if it's not going to run. Because you can actually use your force and ability as an auditor to chug him into it, you see, and fix him very solidly at that point on the track. And if you audited the thing for an hour or two without its running, you know, it's just slog, bing, it's unreal, he doesn't know if it's there, he's slipping out of the incident, he's going into other incidents, yickety-yack, yow, yow, yow. It isn't a smooth go, you know. And if you keep it on this unsmooth go, well, you've got something maybe like a 75-hour run ahead of you if you're really going to grind it flat or something, and you're not about to put this much time into it, so you better get off of it in the first 5 minutes. Got it? And you better run the pre-havingness scale, and very shortly he'll be able to come on up the line and run such incidents. Remember where it is. Say this PC has one awful big secondary at the age of 8. There's a killeroo in there. Spot it once in a while and run it. Sooner or later, as you prepare the case up the line, the case will be able to run this secondary and zoom, bang, and you'll get a sudden bonus for your auditing. Always well to pay attention to the possibility of running out a single incident that is ready to run, that is sitting there to be run, either a secondary or an engram. That's always good to pay attention to. But case behavior does not admit of these things being run on a rather large portion of the cases you run into. I wouldn't give you any kind of a guess because it alters nationally. One country, it's different than another. In one country, you can run engrams on a certain percentage. In another country, you run engrams on a certain percentage. Here in South Africa, it's very low. It's, I don't know, 30%, something like that, probably. But remember, it's still 30%. And after you've run pre-havingness scale for a while, you're kicking it on up to 50%, 60%, 70%, you know, you'll eventually be able to run it in any event. Okay? Now, the only thing wrong with a case is that it's stuck on the time track. It has a confusion of past time with present time, and is living in a different environment by reason of attention units being stuck on the past and confusing that with the present. That's all that's happening with a case, so your activity is the freeing up of attention units. Now, I talked to you about creating things, the case creativeness. Now, their attention must be fixated on the creating of something in order for them to get the engram created. In other words, their attention is fixed on creating. That's what their attention is really fixed on. That's why I talked to you yesterday in that lecture. It isn't really fixed on the picture. See, it's fixed on the necessity to make a picture. Well, of course, when you get the picture out of the road, just as such, you free a certain amount of attention because their attention is less on the creation of the picture, don't you see? It's not quite the thing of the fellow has a motion picture screen up in front of him here with his attention fixed on the brass button of the hussar that is he's about to kill, see? That's, you know, that's the first look. It's very simple. It's a very elementary look, and it's true, and you can consider it true to the extent that it's workable. His attention comes off the picture, you see, and there he has freer attention. But factually, it's not really on the button it's of the hussar's uniform, you see. It's actually on the creation of the picture. Way back down the track someplace, he is just insisting on creating this picture. Just, he's got to, mustn't, got to. You got the idea? And it's all just, well, I got to, I mustn't, I got to, you know. It's all balled up in a creativeness ball. Well, creativeness in the bank's a substitute for havingness, so just freeing up an individual's ability to have frees his attention off the bank. That may sound just a little esoteric to you, but it really isn't. It's quite elementary. An individual's primary attention is fixed on havingness. If he can't have, he'll make it. He'll put it in the bank. And his attention gets wrapped up in actually creating things in the bank. There's where his attention is involved. The production of enough energy to make the picture, for instance, is an absorbing attention pattern. So for your understanding of the situation, it's quite clear that the individual has been fixated by a cat while a little baby, and therefore his attention is fixed on the cat in the picture. But factually, more fundamentally, his attention is fixed on the necessity to create a picture of a cat that he mustn't create. So part of his attention is preventing the creation of a cat, and part of his attention is insisting on the creation of a cat. And there's where the enormous amounts of attention units are absorbed in the bank. There's where they really live. Creation, havingness. Havingness is the result of creation. You straighten out an individual's ideas on the subject of havingness and you start freeing his attention. Now, what's the first symptom of freeing a person's attention? The first symptom of it. He moves off of dead body and comes alive. The E-meter tone arm reads circularly. Somebody hand me an E-meter. The circular read is not expressed by the manufacturer. The manufacturer would find this probably too difficult to manufacture. In fact, I wouldn't know how you'd circuit it up. But it actually works like this. This meter here at 1.5 is apparently below the clear read on this marked scale. And probably we will never change these markings, so you needn't worry about it. You might as well just learn this apparent error. Here it is at 1.5. Well, that's apparently below clear read. No, it isn't. 1.5 is above 6.5. But because the tone arm does not turn through the bottom of the meter, it doesn't read on through to 1.5. But you wait till you get some of your PCs running. You're going to go from 1.5 to 6.5, to 1.5 to 6.5, to 1.5 to 6.5, and it's going to drive you nuts. You say, why can't I go through the bottom of the meter if you understand what you're doing? You say, what is this person doing? Well, this person is actually getting some responsibility. Now, from a dead body type read to 1.5 is more responsibility than he had at a dead body read. As his responsibility comes up, he starts to read on the tone arm dial. And the first symptom of his reading on the tone arm dial is 1.75, 1.5. That's the first symptom of any responsibility. That is actually, should be, 8. Now, if you just understood that as 1.5 is really marked 8 or something. Now, what, you understand this read over here pretty well. 6.5. Now, here at 6.5, that is a zone of no responsibility. But actually, it's some responsibility. 6.5 is a better read than a dead body, too. Any day. This is much more understandable to him. Person is reading here, dead body, dead body, dead body, and then you get him to take some tiny, tiny, tiny amount of responsibility. Microscopic. He comes alive just to the extent of being personally able to take that much responsibility. And what happens? He reads a 6.5. He doesn't read this way. A little bit up, a little bit up, a little bit up. It'll go almost clank. Now he's dead body, dead body, dead body, and then you say how irresponsible this fellow is. Now, he's more responsible at 6.5 than he was at a dead body, too. Got it? You say, well, why isn't the E-meter marked this way? Well, I didn't ever tell anybody to mark it that way. I didn't know what I was doing. I had to figure it out. I had to learn an awful lot about this E-meter in the last couple of years. You would just be absolutely amazed how much there was to know about this E-meter in terms of interpretation. And that's what I'd like to interpretation actually is very simple. It's getting simpler and simpler and less complex. For instance, this is a misnomer. This is known as the tone arm. We owe Matheson that. Only it doesn't measure anybody's tone. It's just, you might as well call it the obelisk. It has no significance as a name. Now, if we call this a responsibility indicator, it would mark like this, if it could be measured like this, but unfortunately it's in harmonics. So we get a responsibility indicator and go like this. We'd have something down here that would say, dead body, no thetan. And then it'd say a little bit of responsibility and a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more responsibility, and a little bit more responsibility, and more responsibility, and it'd finally come back to a dead body, read again, but the fellow would be clear. He'd now be alert and alive, but not influencing the body detrimentally. The other, he's good and dead and not influencing the body detrimentally. Now, a person who picks up first on this dead body read, as soon as they got a little bit alive, you would start reading them. You'd read the body plus the thetan, see? If the thetan reading is deleted from this, you merely get the body, don't you see? And the only thing that changes this read is the thetan. So as you wake up the thetan, you get the dead body read, plus whatever little tiny bit the thetan is chipping in on the thing. And then, of course, he has totally suppressed so that he won't create anything or put any masses into the bank or do anything to upset the body. Of course, there's nobody running this body, and it rather goes to pieces. But as soon as he puts in a little bit, why, you'd get a little bit of read, see? You understand that? He'd be terribly irresponsible in comparison to how responsible he could be, but he is actually more responsible. Now, the facts of the case are, then, that the perfect tone arm here would read dead body, tiny bit responsible, more responsible, more responsible, more responsible, more responsible, see? So we get it all the way down here, on up a little bit more and more and more and more and more responsible and so forth, and terrible influence on the body, and then gradually better and better, more and more alive, less and less necessary to slam big masses into the body and so forth. We'd come around and we would again be reading down here on this zero read. Just be reading the body. Got the idea? Well, if you understand that, then you can tell what this thing is reading. And unfortunately, it isn't calibrated, and I don't think could be, to exactly read that. So as a result, your zero read sits at 2 and 3. That's a zero read. And its first movement on to the meter is down, not up. if you've got a dead body read in the first place. Of course, you know you don't always have a dead body read in the first place on the person. You don't have a 2 or 3 read. You may have a 4 or 5 read or something like that. Well, that person's not in terribly bad shape. So it goes down. Now, actually, what it's going to do is go down all the way around, back on down to the reed. You understand that? Actually, this thing backs up from the zero reed of 2 or 3, backs up this way, on this way. Now, your observation of the thing may be slightly at fault. You may not have noticed what happened. You're dealing with techniques which are rather powerful, which are rather rapid. And you pick up a dead body case, no thing, total automaticity type of case, and you back it up so rapidly that he appears suddenly at 4 or 5. What has actually happened here is the case is actually back down here and come all the way back up to 4 or 5. Got it? Now, the way that happens is your first wake-up of the case is to jar him by whatever you're doing into a sudden awareness of a mass. And he picks up his first mass, and it's so fast that you don't get this read all the way through. You simply read 4 or 5, see? He pulls in a mass quick. He wakes up to this mass quick. And you get a mass read of 4 or 5. And then gradually, as you run the case, that mass read starts going down and disappearing and gradually moves on out. And you've got a clear read. And you ask one more command, and you've got 6 or 5. Got the idea? This is really circular then and goes counterclockwise. You notice that you keep going counterclockwise on this thing. What are you always trying to do? Now, basically, trying to pull this up from 1-5 back to the clear read again serves you with a disappointment ordinarily, because a case at 1-5 is being so slightly responsible that it isn't functioning very well. You gradually see this go down and up and around, and you say, well, why doesn't it come back to 2? Well, you find out it almost never smoothly comes back to 2. It'll do something crazy in between the process of coming back to 2 and the 1-5. Actually, what it does is move down through the stop part of the arm and move back onto this part of the arm. You watch this, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's not really as important as it might be. It's just a matter of your understanding what you're looking at. A person reading up here at 4-5 is, of course, far more alive than a person reading at 1-5. He's much more alert and conscious. Actually, a person reading at 6-5 is in better shape than a person reading at 1-5. We already know these things, and you probably know them too, just at experience with meters. You will never see this thing move from 1-5 down to 1-0 back over here on 1-5, simply because the tone arm won't move through the bottom of the arc. The manufacturer has stops on it. That's because of the pot. That's the way the thing's built. It just never moves through there. But you will see this. You will see this. Get a person down here to about 1-2, and you're running his button on the pre-havingness scale. It really took processes of this character to show up these characteristics. You had to move them fast, you see, in order for the thing to show up at all. So you'll see 1.2, and then all of a sudden you'll be 6.5, and then 1.2 and 6.5, and 1.2 and 6.5, and 1.2. You say, what on earth is going on? Well, what's going on here is you would really be getting 1.2 through the bottom, see? You're really just reading that little arc there. But it's wearing your wrist out. There it goes. One case on the 22nd American. this had been quite a mystery to a lot of people, me included, you know. And Dick Halpern had been worried about this ever since the Australian ACC. And I, in the meantime, had done quite a bit of research on the thing and finally cracked what this was. And I said, well, I said, you'll find out it'll move from the 1-5 to the 6-5 as a down. It moves down from 1-5 to 6-5 all the way over here. He came back very shortly and he says, there's a case right over there doing it. He had a case doing it right that moment. You know, 1-5, and it was coming over here to 6-5. 1-5, 6-5, flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Apparently, the person was going the whole dial. No, they weren't going the whole dial. They were just going this little section of the dial, see? Because of the mechanics of the meter, right, it couldn't be monitored otherwise. And you'll find cases doing that. Now, a case which goes down here to 1-5 and doesn't go any further and nothing else happens, and 25 hours of auditing later still hanging at 1-5, well, boys, you missed the boat someplace. Because the case ought to come over here on a high read and come on down. Or is the case hung up on a little tiny bit of responsibility and then skipped it? Either a withhold came up, or the case said it's very uncomfortable being in this condition, and sort of backed out, they moved out of session, something has happened here that has to do with your fundamentals of auditing as represented in the rudiments. Something has gone wrong in the rudiments. Or this kind of thing has happened with raw meat in off the street. The person has a goal and has come in to be audited for that goal only. And is so fixated on that goal that when they cannot see that your auditing is directly connected with their goal, they go out of session. I'll give you an idea of that. A chap came in, all right, off the test line, what, 25 hours of processing, and he said he wanted to improve his memory. His memory was folding up on him. And for several hours, well, it wasn't too long, he got the business, you know, just standard processing, you know. And he went out of session. His participation folded up totally because he didn't see anything to this. And Mary Sue told me about it, and I said, well, what's his goals or something of that sort? And told me, and I said, well, it's ready, man. Tell me something you wouldn't mind forgetting. And don't give him anything else. Well, of course, that isn't as powerful a process as it might be, but it's not a bad process. And the old man just buckled down onto that with a crunch. And for the remainder, for the bulk of that 25 hours, ran that, happy as a clam, got everything that he came for, marvelous. Memory was back up. Fine. By our standards, he hadn't gotten very far. But he was happy. The only way you could keep him in session by the narrowness of his understanding was to follow through his own goal. So you very often get a hang-up down here because people who read at 1-5 are in rather perilously, they're not in very steady condition. One of the things they can't do is maintain interest. They have a hard time maintaining interest. And if they start hanging fire at this, then you'd better start sorting out their goals and the rudiments. You better start sorting out their goals. Such a thing as, well, why did you come into Dianetics and Scientology? Oh, well, I've told lots of auditors that. There's no particular reason to go into it again. Well, what was your basic goal? Well, it's too late now. Well, what was it? Get along with my wife. Matter of fact, she's left me now. I never made it. You say, good, we're going to run something on your wife right now. You are? Oh, that'd be novel. I've told lots of auditors about this. Now's when you become indebted to having 11 years of background material. Because sometime during that period of 11 years, there's been processes that matched pretty well his case and so forth. Or you take the pre-havingness scale and join it up with something we knew in 1955. You know, you Hobson Jobson and monkey up your own process that takes care of this wife situation in spite of his case level. You got the idea? You just pick one out of a hat. Get the idea your wife's no good. Now get the idea she is some good. I don't care what you do. You'll be fooling around with his basic goal, and he'll be interested, and he'll make some progress regardless of what you hung together to make it with. You got the idea? It's really marvelous what you can get away with if you've got the PC in session. So therefore, don't just, next time you see some PAB booklets or something around, don't just say, well, that's all curiosa. No, look them over, because this stuff's very handy. Oh, it won't run him to clear or anything like that, perhaps, but good heavens, it'll certainly get him off the launching pad very often. He'll say, what is this? What is this now? What is this? Fellow's wife, his wife's left him, and his basic goal was to get along with his wife. And what kind of a process could I run? Now, let's see, on the assessment scale, this character worked out at abandon. But he's only had one wife in this lifetime, so what wife have you abandoned would make one auditing answer? But undoubtedly, on the whole track, he's been loused up like this before. Well, I know what we're going to run. Get the idea of abandoning a wife. Get the idea of a wife abandoning you. Get the idea of failing to abandon a wife. Get the idea of a wife failing to abandon you. Well, we'll just hang this thing up like this, see? And we'll see what happens here. Now you've joined up his havingness assessment with his goal. Might not be good, but he'll sure be interested. And he'll get somewhere. He'll get somewhere. Because what little fragmentary attention units he's still got scattered around idly in present time will all of them join up 100% onto where his attention is basically fixed. Crunch. Now, supposing he had two or three goals. Supposing he had a wife. He wanted to get along with his wife. And he wanted to get over his lumbago. And he wanted to do better artwork. Well, you'd better do an assessment on the goals. You better find out which goal gets the most needle reaction, because that's where most of his attention is. In other words, this is the assessment of goals, which is quite important to him, particularly auditing newcomers, auditing people who know nothing about it, people who don't have much attention on it, people who are pretty scattery, and so forth. You need all the attention you can get fast, otherwise you have to educate them. You can't educate them, you should process them. Person gives you three goals. You want the maximum amount of attention on the session? Already the person isn't running well. You get the idea. PC is running well on just what you're doing. Well, he just runs well, that's all, and you just keep running him. But he's gotten down here to 1.5 and just doesn't seem to be doing anything else. It's a sort of a hang fire situation. Well, the easiest way out of this hang fire situation is goals. Let's go over all of his goals. Let's find all the goals he ever had for processing, not the ones he just gave you for the session. See? Let's find the goals he had for the chiropractor, too. See, let's find his goals all the way back, anything he's been mixed up in. Even if he wanted to be a fireman when he was a kid, well, let's add that in. And let's just take a whole bag of goals, and then let's assess them. Let's go right on down the line with the meter and find out which one drops the hardest. That's the one you run. Now, let's say that you have been assessing the case already on the pre-havingness scale, and you've got this case pegged at protect. Now, you're just going to have to get clever, that's all. You're going to have to add protect into the goal if you want the maximum recovery of the case. Wow, that'll run like chain lightning. Unless you make some mistake like messing up the flows so that he gets overrun on a flow or stuck or messed up in some fashion, you see. Balance it out. We know he did it, but it may be necessary to have him getting the idea that other people did it, you know, for a while. So that you've got crisscross type questions. And his goal really assessed out that all of his life he's wanted to be a fireman, and he's been a doggone failure ever since. Let's see, something odd like this. We find out he's been a fireman all over the whole track. Never been anything else but a fireman. Gets hook and ladder companies in space opera, medieval times. Gets the lot, you see. It's just nothing but firemen. And his button is protect. Well, get the idea of protecting a fireman. Get the idea of somebody else protecting a fireman. Get the idea of a fireman protecting you. Any way you want to work this thing out, you see, with two or three commands. Get the thing pitching, and you'll find out all of a sudden this tone arm will move off of this 1-5 and go elsewhere. Bang! Bow! And start doing other things. You got it? Now, naturally, as a person comes on at 1-5, you will find that they are, by and large, more prone to move up into a secondary of apathy. See, they're just on. They haven't dropped down. Let's get a different idea of this. They're just on function. They're just beginning to function. But they're not functioning very well, and they're not doing very much. Well, then you can expect the basic misemotions to start pouring off of this case. Many things you could do about it. Don't think that they're limited. They aren't. A person stuck there at 1-5 on me and just wasn't going any further, I'd first assess his goals. I'd try to enlist more attention units into the processing by finding out what his basic interests were as they applied to processing. And then I'd run much the same thing, much the same type of thing that I had been running, but I'd apply it to the goals lines. You see that? You say, well, how do you do that? Very easy. You throw the terminal in. Goals all have to do with terminals, one kind or another. Now, those factors on the case which are most closely associated with direct creativeness in the consciousness of the PC, those things which he considers creativeness, if freed, give you the biggest gains. It's basically create, malfunction of, that is wrong with the PC. So therefore, a family, like a wife, children, that sort of thing, second dynamic, these are all close in to this thing called create. So they're the most likely targets. That doesn't mean that all that's wrong with people is the second dynamic, because that is a substitute of a substitute of a substitute for creation anyhow. He says, well, one of the reasons he wanted to get audited is he used to be able to paint, and he can't paint anymore. You assess out the goals, you find out this is going to be hot. It's the only creative goal that he had. He wanted to get over his lumbago. He wanted to get even with his boss. He wanted to do this. He wanted to do that. But he says he wants to rehabilitate his painting. Now, that is closer into creation. It's sort of a thumbnail assessment all by itself. It says this is more likely to obtain a case gain than his lumbago. It's as simple as that, you see. A failed create, remedied, is liable to do more for him than recovering him from a wrongness. Now, you wouldn't want to tackle his lumbago with Scientology anyhow. Directly, immediately, get all mixed up with backs and that sort of thing. There are ways you can do this. I have actually pulled some rather miraculous tricks with something worse than a back. Tell me something worse than a back. Thank you. Tell me something worse than a back. Thank you. But this is an assist line. Miraculous, true. It could straighten it out. Yes. And so on. But if you had to choose between that and straightening out his wish to again paint, I'm afraid you would take the paintbrush as your first goal. In other words, the rule is, in view of what is wrong with the mind, is malfunctions in creativeness, those goals most closely associated with creativeness, if they can be effectively run, will produce the most interest and resurgence on a case. Now, you don't even have to be that adjudicative. If a case starts hanging fire on you, you'll know it, because the tone arm isn't changing. That's your first action. You start auditing Mr. Blow, and Mr. Blow is just still trying to blow, and nothing much happening to his tone arm. Well, I can assure you, these two things are directly and intimately connected. Nothing is happening. If nothing is happening to the tone arm, nothing is happening. You're not getting a change of read on the tone arm. You're not getting a change of mass of the case. So therefore, you're not altering the PC's creative factors. He, a Thetan, would normally start to create and not create and cross-create and counter-create and so forth down deep on the bank, you see. And you're going to get that expressed with wham, bang, zup, zup, zip, burp, 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 bang. Got the idea? His changingness is changingness in creativeness, which is changing mass, so is therefore changing the tone arm read. The mass of the bank is what the tone arm reads. It reads the mass of the bank or its lack. Well, that's what this tone arm is reading over here, mass of the bank. Mass of the bank is dependent upon the changing characteristics of creativeness on the part of the Thetan. So if his creative characteristics are not altering, you get no change of the tone. So the case sits there and reads 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, 4.6... 4.6, 4.6, 4.5, 4.4, 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, 2 hours later. 4.5. Oh, his rudiments must be way off. There's something wrong with those rudiments. You aren't going in the direction of his goals, is the first part of rudiments, see? Rudiments, goals. You're right there with rudiments. He's parted company from you somehow or another. His interest is no longer concentrated on what you're doing. He's left it somewhere. Got an ARC break, got a present time problem. These are the usual standard things and the rudiments that cause the individual's attention to come off of what he's doing. And you state it bluntly, he's not getting anywhere. That's right. And although he may propitiate you, the auditor, he might tell another auditor of the DFP and the HGC, well, I just didn't really make anything. Or he might be propitiative toward the DFP and say, well, I just did fine, thank you. Of course, there's no change of profile, but I can understand that. That's just a goof, that's all. It's a goof. That's all you can say for it. This thing, this tone arm sits there and rides, 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 rides at 1/5. You've just barely got the case started, and then it never continued from that point on. That's all you could say about that. Case consistently rides up here at 6/5, 6/5, 6/5, 6/5, 6/5, and nothing ever happens. Case comes in at 4. Second he goes into session, goes to 6/5, 6/5, 6/5, 6/5, just stays there. 10 minutes after the session ends, 4. You say, what's going on here? No, he's just got a certain set of facsimiles that comes up during auditing, that's all. And he has these facsimiles, they come up during auditing, but the auditing isn't changing the facsimiles. He has more attention on a present time problem called being audited than he has on anything else. Got the idea? That can stem from numerous things. The basic thing it stems from is withhold. He's afraid he's going to have this thing found out, you see? And he's sitting there with a brace on the thing. That's 6/5. That's the 6/5. That's the withhold. Here we go. 6/5, 6/5, 6/5, 6/5. Don't think you're doing anything because you're not. This arm over here, tone arm, demonstrates change of bank. You see, there's a current goes into one electrode and goes in through the machine and goes into the other end of the electrode, see? The current goes through these two things, and actually, the resistance between the two electrodes is a body. So you've always got that resistance. Now, for a thetan to actually lower the resistance of a body is quite a trick. You see, the body, a female body is going to read 2, and a male body is going to read 3 if it's lying there stone dead. Then how on earth does it ever read 1/5? The machine is reading less mass than you observably have in the PC's chair. Well, he must be up to a point of doing a bunk. And he can sort of pull the body's masses this way and that way in order to get a different read, you see? Now, when his mental masses, these things are actual, they're just as solid as a cigarette lighter. I mean, they're as actual as that. Somebody comes along and tells you that mental image pictures are all imaginary. Well, it's an interesting comment on the person's reality. True enough, they're an image, so this makes it imaginary. But they happen to be made out of something. They are made out of electrical energy. And they form ridges and other electrical masses like standing waves. And when these things move in, they put more or less resistance between these two electrodes, that's all. As the bank shifts, the resistance between the two electrodes shift. You got these two electrodes, you put a resistor between the two, and you'll find out that for 3, it reads 12,500 ohms. All right, now let's take this resistor of 12,500 ohms out and let's put a PC in. If he's constant, 12,500 ohms, he's either a dead thetan or clear. Either top or bottom of scale, see? But he's not constant. And as you ask him things, this changes his creativeness of a bank, which puts in more electricity masses and less electrical masses, and you get different reads on his tone arm, and that's all there is to it. So if the resistance, called a PC, is changing, you, of course, are altering his bank. And if the resistance is not changing, you are not altering his bank, and that's all. There's no arguing with it. And when the fellow comes down here at 1.5, and he's sitting here at 1.5 consistently and continually, well, he's got a negative resistance. He's actually subtracting resistance from the body in some fashion or another. But he's at least awake enough to know that he'd better hold it braced. And if it doesn't move onto another reed, he's hanging fire right at that point. You haven't enlisted his interest. Now, in view of the fact that that's a very tiny amount of responsibility, microscopic, compared to six. Six is a lot more responsibility, you see, than 1.5. You've just got a tiny little bit of responsibility awakening here. You'd certainly better take every advantage of it that you possibly can. And one of the ways of handling this, if it hangs up, of course, what you may be running may be handling it very nicely. But if it hangs up, and this goes on for a couple of days of auditing, no. No, you're not getting there, that's all. PC isn't changing, so therefore why are you auditing the PC? You better find out all the goals that this PC ever had for any processing or therapy or life or anything else, and you just better write them all down laboriously on an auditor's report, even if you take up three sheets, and just write them all down and assess these goals out, and then add what you were running already to these goals, and let's get the bulldozer behind it. Now you're all of a sudden going to see a shift, because you've got the PC's laggardly attention units being marshaled in on your side, and that's all you're doing. You're saying, come on, boy, you've had some interests of one character or another. They're still latent. They're still hung up in the bank. And now let's utilize those interests to push this thing over the top. And you're going to get the PC coming off this null point and shifting on, and his creative ability and so forth altering. The rules which you follow in this, in all auditing, is if the PC isn't changing for the better, your auditing isn't working. You'll find out that to change a PC downward is not responsive, very responsive on this tone arm. Changing him downward, that is to say, making him worse. He resists this so hard, he'll just hang the arm usually. You know, he just dung. You get no change. So you can fairly safely assume that if the tone arm is shifting during auditing, that the PC is improving. And if it's not, you're not going anywhere. So you want the process that shifts the tone arm. Now, how much shift is a shift on the tone arm? Well, the worse off a case is, the less shift you're going to get. And the better off a case is, well, the more shift you're going to get. But if I can't get, something on the order of 2 tones per session, I would say I was doing nothing, and I would be very dissatisfied with 2 tones per session. 2.5 hour session, 2-tone shift. Little, minor. That is, the case went from 6 to 4 in 2 hours. But I would be saying, well, I wouldn't do anything else. I'd keep on with what I was doing. What I like to see is 6 to 3 to 5 every half hour. Then I know we're wheeling and dealing. We're whizzing. That's going now. And you'll find out that this follows true in the profiles of the PC after he's retested. Now, your goal in auditing, of course, is to enlist the interest of the PC in getting to talk to you so that you can bring about a change of the case and improve his various abilities. In order to do that, you have to understand his responses, and his responses are best understood through this meter right here. The biggest response you will get will be to run off some big amiss emotional secondary with a PC leaking tears, rage, or something or other in all directions. That's a precession 38. You just run off this incident and bang, you see. Big change. The next one is in auditing in general to get motion of this tone arm. And you're going to have to go into this type of auditing and getting motion of the tone arm to clean up the whole track anyway. Understand a little bit more about this now? Okay, thank you. Thank you.